We'll be looking today at Mark 9, verses 38 through 41. Now John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us, casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. When John hears the words of Jesus, he brings up an incident that had occurred sometime earlier. In verse 38, apparently the disciples had encountered a fellow who was casting out demons in the name of Jesus. This fellow was successful because the verse says that he was casting out devils in Jesus' name. But because he followed not Jesus and his men, the disciples rebuked him and told him to stop what he was doing. Because he followed not Jesus and his men, the disciples rebuked him and told him to stop what he was doing. I don't know if they cared that they said the men didn't follow Jesus, because the text says, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us. Because he does not follow us. He does not follow us. John is saying, Jesus, we saw a fellow who was using your name to cast out devils, but we set him straight because he wasn't doing it like we do it. And we let him know that our way is the only right way that it can be done. And we want you out of business now. Jesus responds by telling them to let people like that alone, as we see in verse 39. Do not forbid them, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. If they're doing good works in the name of Jesus Christ, they're not against them. But they're working for him, as it says in verse 40, for he who is not against us is on our side. Jesus goes on to tell his men that even if someone just gave a disciple a cup of water in the name of the Lord, that person would surely be rewarded for their service. In verse 41, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means lose his reward. The several lessons here for the modern church. Several lessons, if we're willing, of course, to receive them. Often, we are just like the Lord's disciples. If a church, a ministry, or an individual doesn't do everything just like we do them, then we're quick to condemn them. We're quick to judge them. We're quick to lash out against them. We're quick to try and silence them. We're quick to, quote unquote, we're doing the Lord's work here by condemning them, by judging them. Because they do things differently. Let's look at a few truths that maybe we may have forgotten over the years. No church, no preacher, and no ministry has an exclusive lock on the truth. No church, no preacher, no ministry has an exclusive lock on the truth. In other words, God did not establish us as the final determiner of who is and who isn't serving the Lord. Truth is always much bigger than our grasp of it. Just remember back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Do you believe the same things that you did now as then? Have you not changed at all in your understanding of what you believe to be the truth today? Maybe you were of the Arminian persuasion at one time. Then you became a covenant person, Calvinism. Then maybe you became a new covenant person. Maybe you were from a liturgical background. Then you moved where there was one with a change of clothes, change of music, change of the way they, quote-unquote, do church. Has not your truth changed? What you believe, not truth itself changed, but your interpretation of what the truth is, what you believe to be the truth, has it not changed at all? Were you not doing the Lord's work back then when you believed what you believed, but now you don't believe what you believed then? The primary thing is whether or not the Lord is being glorified by that person, that place, that ministry. Jealousy over the things of God, that's nothing new. That's been around since time began. Let's look at a case of it in Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Very often, the quote-unquote zeal for right doctrine and right interpretations and everything is nothing more than jealousy of somebody else. Let's look at Numbers 11, 26 to 29. But the two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to them, are you so zealous for my sake? Oh, that the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. See? Jealousy. Jealousy. Wanted them to shut up. And yet Moses says, oh, that the Lord's people were prophets. All the Lord's people were prophets. See? Joshua wanted these two young men to be silenced. But Moses basically said, like the Lord said in the text, if they're for us, he who is not against us is on our side. We see it in the modern church, in John 3, verses 26 through 30. And modern meaning the new era. John 3, 26 through 30. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears and rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. I wonder if many times we don't judge others and condemn others because in actuality we see some other group increasing and we see ourselves decreasing. So we start condemning, we start judging. we start attacking because they do things differently. When it comes to churches, remember this, one size does not fit all. Not everyone responds to the way that things may be done at your church. Your church is not necessarily for every believer. And many times, it may bother you. But God does use people who do things differently than you may do at your church. We need to be careful that we do not judge a church, a ministry, or a preacher just because they do things differently than we do. Many may find things that are done in other churches very repulsive. Some people have a hard time with dress standards. Some people wear suits, and the women wear dresses in some churches, and some people wear flip-flops and shorts. Some people sing hymns. Some people sing hymns with music. Some people sing songs with modern music. Some people use King James only. Some people use the New King James. Some use the NIV. And some people may have a hard time with lots of the things that I just mentioned. But I'm forced by this passage before us to remember that even if I may not like this or that about a church or a ministry, if they love Jesus Christ and are preaching the gospel, then we're just branch offices of the same business. We're just outposts for the King. We're all at different outposts. And we're still all on the same team. Even if I do not like their methods, their methodology of doing things. Just look at all the different things that you believed at one time, but now you don't believe them. And I'm not talking about the essential truths of Scripture, the Trinity and Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and the second coming. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about methodology. It's liturgical. It's rock music. It's hymns. It's dungarees and suits and long hair and short hair and, you know, all of these things. What do you want to do with a text like we have before us today? For he who is not against us is on our side. Is not on our side. I mean, especially in this age of social media. I mean, you go onto social media and you see brothers and sisters just attacking each other relentlessly. Between Facebook and Twitter, you can go to any of them and it's just believers will just start shooting and whacking at each other for nothing at all. For nothing at all. One little word said different and their teeth come out and the claws come out and it's just scratching and kicking and biting. Even to the point that even, oh, yeah, that's not my brother, that's not my sister, they're unbelievers, and on and on it goes. On and on and on it goes. I would ask you the question today, if you think you have an exclusivity on the truth, if you think you exclusively have the truth and your way of doing things is the right way, do you think that there's anything that you might do wrong? Do you think that the way you do things, your understanding of Scripture, your eschatology, your understanding of end times is perfect. It's all laid out. This system is perfect. That system is perfect. I got all my little doctrines, all my little, my understanding is all set up. I got all my little soldiers lined up. I am absolutely right about everything. Do you really believe that about yourself? I can say that I don't think that way of myself, and I'm a believer for over 30 years. And I've changed and changed and changed and changed over the years. Things that I thought were primary, I found out they weren't so primary. Things I thought were the absolute truth, I found out not necessarily so. And I hope that people would have not been against me, that they would have been on my side. So should I not treat others like that? And this message is basically just a calming down. Just a calming down of tensions in the church, of the mudslinging and the bashing. I mean, how are we any different than the world? That's all the world does. Cut each other's throat and step on each other. Are we brothers and sisters? Or not? I mean, in every family, everybody doesn't get along. Parents argue, children argue, aunts and uncles argue, grandparents. I mean, that church is a family. All I'm saying is maybe, can we tone it down a little bit? And put your arm around that brother you've been beating up for the last 10 years? In the end, every church and every ministry will be judged by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the end, it's God. And I'm not saying that we condone everything that everybody does. All I'm saying is that we must understand that all of these other ministries are giving account to God and not to us. Every person, every ministry will appear before the Lord, and before the Lord they'll stand or fall. But we think so often, now I'm doing the Lord's work by pointing this out. Our duty here is for us to be the kind of people God wants us to be. We're to worry about our own business first. And we got enough of our own business to take care of. Let me conclude with this story told of George Washington. During the Revolutionary War, General George Washington walked up on a group of men who were trying to pull down a tree. They were almost able to get the job done, but they lacked just a little strength. It appeared that the help of just one more man would be sufficient to get the job done. Washington noticed their commanding officer standing off to the side shouting orders. "Why don't you help them?" Washington asked. The officer responded indignantly, "Sir, I am their commander. I give the orders and they do the work." Hearing that, Washington got off his horse, took off his coat, rolled up his sleeves, and gave the tired men the help they needed to complete their task. When they were finished, Washington looked at the officer and said, "Sir, if your men need any further assistance, please call on me at any time." The officer said, "Thank you, friend, and where may I call for you if I need you?" And Washington said, "You can find me in the commanding general's tent." With that, he rode off, leaving the astonished and embarrassed officer in his wake. Who's the greatest in the church? The greatest person in the church is the person who serves others selflessly, with no thought for what they might receive in return. The greatest person in the church is the person who's willing to take the last place so that others can be first. The greatest person in the church is the person who seeks to serve those who never give anything back in return. Very often, we attack and kick and pull and scream at one another, with others in different quote-unquote denominations and tribes and gatherings, because we really don't want to be humble. and be servants and work side by side with others. We want to be like the commanding officer that just shouts out the orders. Who's the greatest? This is the third message. The first one was the greatest. Who's the greatest? This is the conclusion of speaking about the disciples were arguing who was the greatest amongst them. Who's the greatest? The servant of all. He who desires to be first shall be last of all and servant of all. Are you serving others? Has God spoken to you about this matter of serving Him by serving others? You need to come to Him. You need to surrender your plans for your life for His plans. You have to humble yourself as a servant. For Christ is the absolute example of being in the very form of God. Humbled Himself and became a man. Let's close with Philippians 2. Beginning at verse 5. And this is for everyone. If you're a brother or a sister in the Lord, it's for you. No matter what your background, what your flavor is, quote unquote, what you think is the absolute truth. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Let this mind be in you. Let it be in me. Let it be in all that would hear this message. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Hear that? No reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, the deity becomes man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. God Almighty humbles himself. What should be our posture? And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Would you be great in the kingdom? Then be a servant of all. Be a servant of all. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.